Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Always love talking to you, Ed Cox, and I welcome you back.
It's good to be back again, Alan.
Okay, so is Andrew Cuomo in danger here? I mean, 2018, he's got to run.
Yeah.
He says he's going to run, and then we all know he's running for president, isn't he?
And that's his problem. He's got to go so far left in all his policies, which are destructive for the economy of this state, that I don't think he's going to get reelected as governor. We're going to have a Republican governor after 2018.
So will it be Mario Ridu?
Much different. Mario had principles, and whether you liked him or not, Andrew is purely about Andrew and his personal ambitions, and the people in New York State be damned. He's going to achieve his personal goals, which is to go now where his father did not go, and that's to the presidency. And to do that, he has been stepping on the people of New York every step of the way.
So, you know, there's the trial. Everybody's talking. Not since Kafka has the word the trial been as important. There's the trial. Has he weathered that already? Are people bored with it, the idea that Joe Prococo, Todd Howe, and all the others?
Like everything, it's disappeared from the public conscience for a while the prosecutors do their work, the defense attorneys do their work. But there's no doubt that there will be a trial of his indicted, quote-unquote, brother, as he called him, Joe Prococo. And Cuomo has said that he is going to have to testify at that trial. And I tell you, he's not going to come off very well in the process. Look, his job approval is only at 43% in the latest poll. And job approval is where people vote. Now, he's hyping his favorabilities by having these feel-good ads, and people see them, and they say, oh, yeah, we're favorable towards them. But when it comes to job approval, it's in the tank. When it comes to his reelect numbers, they're hovering around 50%. And if you're hovering around 50% and you are the sitting governor, you're in deep trouble.
So that leads me to say, as I have done many times with you, Ed, and as which you obfuscate always, who you got?
Don't tell me some
fat guy from New Jersey. I mean, come on now.
We've got so many good candidates that present something different for the people in New York, but all of them are proven people who want to truly represent all the people in New York and just do the best for them. That is their sole ambition. Whether you've got Majority Leader Flanagan, who's expressed an interest in it, whether you've got Rob Astorino, who's doing a great job in Westchester, and he did a great job in the last campaign when you're outspent $100 million to $6 million. Now, you may wonder where the extra $50 million came out in that $100 million. That's the amount of government money that would feel-good ads, startup New York ads, that peaked in re-election time for Cuomo in 2014 to make everyone feel good and to about what's going on in state. Well, of course, they didn't produce any jobs. They were supposed to be economic development things. But he really basically spent $44 million of his own and $50 million of the government's money to get himself reelected. Rob only did six. Rob was a great candidate. And in the end, Cuomo only got, I think it was 54% after all that. And since then, he has really put him in order to satisfy the special interests of his party. He killed the natural gas industry in the Southern Tier. The corruption of all those so-called economic development programs is now coming out. Nine of his closest associates were indicted. One of them was Alan Calieros, who was right in the center of the nanotech industry. And the governor has to bear a lot of responsibility for it because he took Calieros out of his natural position, put him in another position where he got himself into trouble. The result is even the nanotech industry around in the Capital District region and across I-90 is the jobs are disappearing there as those consortiums fall apart and that nanotech industry leaves New York. Part of those funds that we're talking about came from the governor putting a gun to the head of Wall Street and saying, settle and hand over $1 billion settlements to us, or we're going to revoke your charter, or we're going to do bad things to you. And Wall Street complied. But that money was then part of the governor's slush fund that he used for the so-called economic development programs that resulted in it was corporate welfare. When you have corporate welfare, you end up with indictments, and that's we come right back to Andrew Cuomo creating his own problems here.
Permission to speak frankly.
Granted. That's an army term. Permission.
Exactly. Permission to exactly. speak frankly. Yeah. I don't, you know, I told you you were going to obfuscate and you did. You haven't got anybody. You got the same old,
same old. I'm sorry. I haven't finished. We got Harry Wilson, too. And Harry.
Who he? I know who he is, but who he?
Here's who he is. He is the same person who won in the same paradigm, who won in very blue states. Rauner in Illinois, a Republican, won in deep blue Illinois. Charlie Baker, a Republican, won in deep blue Massachusetts. And Larry Hogan won, all this in 2014, won in deep blue Maryland. Each of them was a businessman as an outsider with some political experience. And Harry Wilson and some of them, like Rauner, committed a significant amount of his own money into it. And that fits Harry Wilson perfectly. He ran for controller in 2010 and did he's a turnaround specialist. He's done very well in private life. He's first immigrant Greek, and he was Harvard Business. He learned the turnaround, how to turn around businesses.
Does he have $27 million already in the bank to run against Cuomo, or will he spend it?
No, he said he when he ran for controller, he said he'd put up $1 to $2 million. This is in 2010. He actually put up $4 million. He said that if he runs for governor here, he'll put up 10 at the start.
Well, the other guy's already got $27 million. You know he's going to have $100 million by the time it's over, right?
Talking to a lot of major funders, I think that any of our candidates, but Harry would be able to raise $5 million very quickly, and I think we could raise more money than that. I think we would end up putting $20 million on the table right from the start. Okay. That's enough to really freeze the. And believe me, there's a lot of opportunistic money here in the city that, you know, because Cuomo's a political thug and they're scared of him, they have contributed him to date. The minute they see there's a real challenger, they're going to resent what Cuomo has done to them and the way he's encouraged them, quote unquote, to support him. And they're going to stand on the sidelines when they see there's real money on the table, which I think would happen with any one of our candidates.
Well, continuing to speak frankly, under the permission granted me earlier, I would say that you could have won, maybe, with Chris Gibson, but somehow I have a feeling he was discouraged from doing it. He went over to Williams College, where he's teaching a seminar of 14 people, and so I think you had a good one there, and you lost him.
Well, Alan, don't discount that, especially Republicans. You know, Republicans go into public life for the most part because they really care about doing something for the people they want to represent. I'm not saying some Democrats don't, but Republicans more like private life.
You mean like the healthcare program,
before we get off on something else, let me just say Chris Gibson taught. I mean, he served his country well, but he was also got his PhD at Cornell, and he taught at West Point. Taught politics and history.
Exactly.
He loves doing that. So he's gone back to something he really loves.
Oh, come on.
Doing.
He wanted to run. You know darn well that he wanted to run. And he went around and he talked to, you know, the top guys, and they all, same old, same old. Let's get the guy down there from Westchester County, you know. Let's get that guy, or let's get the failed guy.
Look, this is very open among our potential candidates. By the way, Marcus Molinaro is another one I have to mention. He's a great candidate. county exec.
He's actually good.
Dutchess County. They're all good.
No, they're
good,
not.
In a different way. They all represent something different, and they would all be any one of them would be a great candidate and would defeat Cuomo.
Oh, nobody believes you about that. The guy's name is Cuomo. Cuomo. You know, what are you talking about? Look, are we friends?
No.
Are Andrew and I friends?
You're missing his name. When your brother, quote unquote, is indicted and 9 of your closest associates are indicted, I add a 10th. That's the guy Pigeon who just got indicted, who's very close to him, representing him out in Buffalo. He just got indicted. There may be more to come down. Your name isn't Cuomo. It's Corrupt Cuomo.
Whoa. Well, that's interesting. Now, you know, he and I don't do too well together. I just want you to know I'm not shilling for him here, but I think you'd have to show
much better. You did much better with his father, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, for good reason. There's a difference between the two.
You think there is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, whether, as I said before, whether you agreed or disagreed with the father, he had principles and he stuck to those principles and he was trying to do his best for the people of the state. For whatever reason, while he measured running for the presidency, he didn't just go for it because he could have. He was right there. People were urging, but he decided, no, I don't think I can do that. That's not Andrew. Andrew is just blind ambition, and he's really leaving this state, all right? Look, he was AWOL with respect to the budget, the negotiations at the end of session. He just wasn't there.
He left.
Now he calls a special session, and the cost and expense of a special session. If he had been active in the regular session, maybe he could have been part of a solution then, rather than all the expense of a special session that's happening. He was AWL. He only cares about how do I maneuver this so I make myself look good so I can be the next president of the United States. That's his simple calculation going forward.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with that. So let me then ask you, what about this New York mayoral debacle? You know, we know an outstanding Republican, Democrat, Independent, Mike Bloomberg, was clear about how advantageous. Most educators agree that it's a good thing, and yet Flanagan is mad at him, allegedly. At least that's what we hear, because he tried to get Democrats, de Blasio we're talking about now, elected.
Look, Alan, with respect to the mayoralty, the basic fact, this is a 7-1 Democratic city, New York City, right?
Right.
But in the last 6 mayoral elections, the mayor was elected on the Republican line. And it is those two mayors, Rudy Giuliani with respect to crime, welfare, taxes, homeless. He did all the tough stuff you had to do to bring this city back. He was never given mayoralty control by the legislature, but he did get it. But Bloomberg did get it. And Bloomberg with Joel Klein, charter schools here encouraging great teachers and educators like Eva Moskowitz to do their charter schools. I was involved in that, as you know, authorizing charter schools. I helped her with her first schools, helped her work out how she could do her network under the statute as chairman of the Charter School Institute of the State University. And you could see the one thing that Rudy Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani, could not get his hands on, Mayor Bloomberg did, and did a great job doing it. Now, he did other good things, too, because he wasn't out there just for the glory of it or whatever. For instance, he rezoned the city in a way that's resulted in tremendous construction boom in this city, something you don't get credit for. I give him credit for.
Yeah. Stop obfuscating. Now, you just stop that. I need you, Mr. Chairman, to tell us what you're going to do about mayoral control of the schools. You got Flanagan out there not giving him what he wants because he's mad at him for doing political stuff.
Look,
come on, stop that.
I'm not obfuscating when I say that the mayor was elected on the Republican line 5 out of the last 6 mayoral elections. That's a fact. That's not obfuscation. With respect to mayoral control, Leader Flanagan has said, yeah, that's fine, but you are irrationally and for purely political purposes, Mayor de Blasio, trying to kill charter schools by not lifting the cap on it. And there are up to 100,000 unsatisfied applicants who want to get into our superb charter school networks in New York City, and you simply because you are enthralled to the teachers' union in New York City, you want to kill charter schools. This is part of the education package, and if you want mayoral control, we want to make sure you do it right and that you support these the great charter schools that we have. And so you needed the two as a package. That is a perfectly reasonable position for our Senate majority to take, and they're taking and they're standing on principle.
What about re-upping the tax powers in the various counties?
I think that was the assembly basically, a lot of them depend upon the teachers union for their support, so they're not really, they've never been for charter school. The only reason they supported charter schools and voted for them for Pataki's bill, which failed in I think three or four legislative sessions until finally in December of 1998, by golly, the assembly voted for it. Why do you think they voted for it, Alan?
Pay raise!
Yes, exactly. You know your history. Pay raise! They could get a pay raise. So, by God, look, you know, that's not the way legislation should be done. But on the other hand, this was known legislation. It was good. By the way, it was good legislation. Governor Pataki got the charter school legislation that he wanted, which was a good piece of legislation, which I then, with respect to the state universities portion, which is half the charter schools, half the 100, we had 50 to authorize. And I worked that, and I, as a lawyer, my duty was to implement that law. Your son, by the way, helped us with it. And it was very well-crafted legislation that I could really implement with gusto, and we did it. And we did it. And that has resulted in great improvements and examples of how the city schools can improve. If, in fact, Mayor de Blasio was willing to look at those examples, say, yeah, charter schools gave us good examples. We have to do the same things. Instead, he's going the other direction. These renewal schools, they are just invitations to corruption. Oh, we're going to put a lot of money into these really poor performing schools, and we're going to improve them. That means consultants. It means bureaucrats. It means money being thrown all over the place. That means corruption. And that's the headlines with respect to renewal schools, fake graduation rates, money misspent, bribery. I mean, that's what happens when you follow the path the mayor's following.
Hey, but some of these charter schools have had their problems, too.
Oh, we closed down almost half of them. Because they didn't live up to what they said they were going to do in their charter. And that's what you got to do with failing schools. It's very hard to repair a failing school. And what you have to do is to start all over with it again if you're going to make it work.
Well they've done a lot of that.
From charter schools.
They've done a lot of that.
Not this mayor. This mayor is not willing to do it because the teachers' union is, its duty in the end, the way it sees it, is protect the worst of the teachers from getting fired or whatever. And so de Blasio is faithfully representing that view. And says, oh, no, we're gonna fix these schools. And the bottom line, if a school doesn't really have good leadership and good basic things at the start that they can build on, and they prove to be failures, you just have to close them down and start again. Charter schools.
Yeah, but you said that you had to close half of them down. How good could they be?
The other half are great, and that's
well. If you get a 50 on a test, you fail.
No. Well, come on. You know, tests in academia are different than what is good public policy. And good public policy says if something's not working, you don't keep doing it over and over and over again. You take a look at what has succeeded. By the way, you know one of the schools that failed? One of the charter schools that failed? And I was roundly criticized for this. I authorized a charter for the teachers union, for Randy Weingarten's teacher union, and we insist on one thing. She didn't want to do it, but we insisted that she take responsibility and be the chairman of that charter school. And guess what happened to it?
It closed down, but one did well, didn't it?
No, they got shut down.
Both of them?
Both were combined into one, and they got shut down.
I see. Okay, so
let me go. Because they didn't succeed.
Yeah. But
with all its assets and under their contract and working under the, they could not make their charters, their own school succeed.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. Donald Trump is a famous New Yorker, right? He's the president, the Republican president of the United States. He's got a health care bill which 15% of the people say they like. Everybody else doesn't like it, or most people don't like it. He can't come into New York because if he comes into New York, there's going to be protests up the yin-yang. So my question to you is, what's with this guy, Trump?
As if he's not used to protest. Hey, he's a New Yorker. He can take protesters. He's tough. He's going to come out of this. Look what happened with CNN. You know, he attracts all these attacks on him because he's not politically correct. He's not a politician. He calls it like it is. And when
so CNN makes one big mistake, which they have apologized for and run for the hills. What are you talking about? Millions of people come out in the streets to yell at him.
Alan, I call it the Trump trap. Here he is going out there being politically incorrect. They got to start going after him and start attacking him. His 16 Republican opponents in the primaries did that, and they all crashed and burned, and he came out and got the nomination. Mrs. Clinton went after him because, he's politically incorrect. He's saying these terrible things and this and that. He was telling it like it was.
Okay.
She crashed and burned. Now the media is doing it. Oh, there's got to be some collusion somewhere in all this. There's not.
And the Russians,
what's happened with Anthony Scaramucci, and there were three of the top reporters We're putting out what was a fake story, and they got fired, and CNN was scared of a $100 million libel suit, and they had to apologize. That is just the tip of the iceberg of the way the mainstream media is about. Peggy Noonan.
To which I say nonsense.
Peggy Noonan, who is pretty even-handed about this.
Oh, yeah?
She's
a Republican hack.
No. She has really good sensors for what's going on, particularly in the journalistic world. And she said the mainstream media is from the interns.
I'm so surprised. Hey.
Multiply opposed to Donald Trump and want to make it. In the end, they're going to end up crashing and burning because they're overstating their case.
I got a minute and 40 seconds. Yes or no, New York State should have a constitutional convention?
No.
Because?
The special interests of this state inevitably will take it over and try and write into the Constitution things that they should only, that they cannot get in legislation.
Like?
Just take a look at the Constitution now and see what happened in the last one, where the special interests got written into it things with respect to pensions and other things that they wanted that don't belong in a Constitution that should define the general parameters of how government work, not represent special interest pieces. How long is our Constitution? I mean, it's huge, much larger than the Constitution of the United States of America.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because special interests got their pieces in there.
It's always wonderful to talk to you, Ed Cox. And I have to say that while some people might think I treated you with disrespect on this program, I have great fondness for you. Absolutely.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to work with you.
And
it's a challenge, I got to say, but it's a pleasure.
And I wish we could do this every week because you're terrific. We're out of time. Our guest has been Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Ed, always wonderful to see you and to talk to you.
Good to talk with you, Al.
Thanks always. So much.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.